Welcome back to Three Guys in a White Coat, the podcast where the three of us give you our perspectives on the pathway to becoming a medical student. This episode in specific is going to be touching on a part of that wonderful application we all cherish and remember and love, the AMCAS.
Love it.
General application.
You have very different thoughts about it than I do.
Yeah. Today, for all of you listening, we're not going to go super in-depth on the application itself, but rather we're going to spend time. I mean, the instructions are there. You guys can all read them, but we're going to go ahead and talk about specific sections that we think are really important. And today we're going to be talking about volunteering, because that, in my opinion, is one of the sections that can really differentiate you between the thousands of other candidates that are applying.
Agreed. And we'll give you guys like a little rundown on like the quick hits of the application. And in another podcast, we'll talk about that more in depth. But for today, we really want to focus on that. So like one of the big things is that when the application opens up for you to submit your application on June 1st, you should absolutely be ready to go and submit it that day. I don't remember the exact statistics. I don't know if you guys do, but your chances are way higher if you get it in. Like, if you're the first person that submits it,
it's drastic.
Yeah, yeah. It's something like within, like, if you get it in the first, like, 2 or 3 days, like, they get sent out right away.
It's huge, and that matters so much.
Yeah.
So, be ready. This is one of those things. I know, like, when you take the MCAT, you feel all that weight off your shoulders, and you're like, finally, I can just kind of breathe for a second. Finish strong. Don't let off the brakes there, or don't start braking there. Go through when you get your application sent out. Then you actually have 2 or 3 weeks, maybe even a month, before they're going to send out the secondaries.
The secondaries follow the same way too. Like, try and get those done as quickly as possible.
But like between your submission of the primary and then getting the secondaries, that is probably the only time you should really like exhale. And I don't want to stress anyone out, but I'm just saying, if you want the best chances of getting into a medical school, early.
Yeah, I would say too, like, what did they say? How many people applied to our school this year?
15,000.
Yeah, so think about that. If you're the first person to get your application in the portal on that day, you're the first application that those schools are going to see out of that 15,000. And that's a huge difference than if you get it in way later and you're like the 13,997th person that they look at.
Especially if they're looking for, like, you know, 3 or 4 spots at that point. You know, there's 165 in our class. Something like that.
So, I mean, the percentage is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one other piece of advice I would give you guys if you're thinking about this is, if you know someone that went through the process, ask them if you can see their application before, just so you can see what the application is going to ask of you, because you can pre-draft a lot of this stuff if you really take the time. And then even it opens up in May that you can start working on it, I think.
It's around beginning then. Of May. Yeah. Something like that.
Like when it opens up, if you've already pre-templated all your stuff and you know your answers, you can put them in and you're ready to go and you're 3 steps ahead of the game.
That's another thing too, with like personal statements too. I know I had a bunch of people look at my personal statement, because it's hard to write a personal statement. You know, it's not like you're not used to writing about it. I don't like talking about myself and like how great of an applicant you are, but that's another thing. You know, get going, do a couple drafts, have people look at it, especially like you said, someone who's been through it before.
Absolutely. And I don't think, like, speaking from personal experience and the three of us, this is why we're doing this kind of podcast, is because there's no medical student who goes through that and then doesn't want to help someone else going through
That.
Because it is a really long process, and it can be very stressful. And so, having gone through it, there's no way I would want to see anyone that knows me, or even anyone that I don't know, have a hard time and struggle with that without knowing the ins and outs.
I agree. I think that's like a pretty good synopsis of, like, I mean, that's like the major point. Like, without doing a full in-depth like discussion of this thing, get that thing in early. Yeah. Talk to someone that you know that's already gone through it, so that way you can get an idea of what you want to do. And one last thing I would say before we jump into the actual volunteering thing is, when you're at your age right now, no matter what step you're at, when you do an activity, I don't know if you guys did this, like, I had a journal that I kept and I wrote down like all my stuff. That's one thing one of my doctors impressed upon me. Like, document it when you've done it.
I was just going to say that, because I had that issue as I was going back trying to figure out what I was all involved with. And it's hard to think back to freshman year. Okay, I was like in this club or I did this volunteering. Like, when did I actually do it? What did I actually do? So yeah, I totally agree with you, Mike. I was actually just going to talk about that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, again, sorry, just The last thing is if you have someone that you know that has gone through it, or someone connected to that process at all, talk to them.
Yeah.
Do not think that you know, you know, you've heard everything that you can hear, you've done the research. Talk to them, because they will give you invaluable advice.
Yeah, don't do it alone. You don't have to. There's people out there that are willing to and want to help you.
Yeah.
And if you guys ever have questions, feel free to ask us. We're still working on getting our email up, but as soon as we do that, we'll let you guys know, and you guys can ask us questions, and maybe we'll even try to post some of our templates of our experiences that we had for the MCAS and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important stuff. But volunteering is important.
Now we've gone through the application.
Yeah. I mean, volunteering is... Wow. I mean, it's one of those things is obviously any school you apply to wants to see that you have a genuine care for other people, and volunteering is a great way to show that. And one major thing I want to talk about when you're thinking about volunteering, I know myself personally, when I was thinking about volunteering positions that I wanted to do, I knew I was applying to med school. So I was looking for a checklist of oh, I'm going to go volunteer in an ER, or I'm going to go do this because it's medically related.
Yep.
And I want everyone to see that I'm doing medical things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not how it has to be.
Right.
No, just do something that you're interested in. I mean, if you can talk about it, if you can show you're passionate about it, if you coach, or if you work with a group of kids on art projects and stuff like that, if you can talk about it, show that you're passionate about it, that's awesome. That's a lot better than trying to relate, something back to medicine that has no problem being related to no issue. And that's not even the right word. No, it shouldn't be related to medicine. You just kind of sound like you're trying too hard at that point.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's a great opportunity for you to separate yourself from other people and do things that you're passionate about. And if you're going to go do something just to do it, if you hate that, when you get to an interview, you're not going to want to talk about it.
Right.
And that's going to show. So if you find things that you're passionate about, I coached a soccer team of 8 and 9 year olds for a year and a half. And that's not medically relevant, but it was so much fun and I enjoyed it. So when I got to interviews and I got to talk about that, I was so passionate about it. And I had stories about my kids and I was name dropping them and all this stuff. And it just showed that you're a passionate person and you care about people and that you wanted them to succeed and all these things. So don't feel like you're pigeonholed into doing something that's completely medically relevant. You'll have plenty of time to do that.
Yep.
Right. But at the same time, if you are super interested and super passionate about, volunteering in a medical setting, do it. Absolutely do it. And that's fine. We're not trying to say that you shouldn't do medical, because if you're interested in that stuff and you're very passionate about, that's what we're getting at. You shouldn't feel like you need to do medical volunteering, but if you want to do medical volunteering, that's something you like to do. Absolutely.
That's a good intro into what you're actually going to see as a physician. You're working with patients, you can see physicians, see kind of their work day, along with shadowing, which that'll be a completely other episode, but
can't wait for that one.
Yeah. And so, I'm pretty excited. So Mike, talk to us about kind of, you said you were a soccer coach, and talk to us about how that impacted or was a part of your application.
I think it was a big part of my application that when I first applied, I thought I had done volunteering, and I kind of realized that I really didn't. I thought of volunteering as more of being just involved in your community. So I worked at the YMCA for my whole life. So I kind of thought that that was going to kind of cover me. And I realized real quick that that's not how that works. So I just think that it gave me a greater perspective of what it meant to be involved with the community. And when I got to interviews, it just gives you something to talk about with them. So, I was telling about, the first time that I had, this kid on my team that was, came over, he was in, cargo shorts and, socks and, normal shoes, and he was like, "Hey, Coach Micah, I think I'm on your team." And I was like, "All right, George, great, let's get this going." Didn't even think about that. This kid that just showed up in cargo shorts and regular shoes and socks, probably hasn't played soccer before. And the first thing he asked me was, "Can I play goalie?" And it was just a hilarious story to talk about how I put this kid into goalie. He had no idea what he was doing. And then all of a sudden, the middle of it, he just showed up next to me. And even though I'm not doing anything medically relevant, and taught me how to talk to parents, it taught me how to handle issues with all of them. So I just feel like it made me more well-rounded.
I was going to say, what other kind of qualities do you think that showcases to someone interviewing you?
I'd say that one of the big things is maturity. If you can handle talking to parents about issues that are going on with kids, it shows that you'll be able to talk to patients about anything that's going on. I also think that it shows leadership. So I was the head coach and I had an assistant, so you're running practices, you're doing this after you got off work, like you're showing that you're willing to dedicate your time outside of your 9 to 5 or whatever you're working to accomplish something else for someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, for those, this is a podcast, you guys can't see, but Mike's face lit up when he tells his stories. And that comes off to someone interviewing as you, this is not someone who did this as a checklist. This is not someone who, this is someone who did this because they're passionate. And that's again, why we want to do medicine is because we're passionate about it.
Right.
And so finding ways that we, as students, as applicants, as physicians someday, we embody that same passion towards the patients that we're serving and caring for every day.
Yeah. And one thing I would say about volunteering too is like, it's kind of easy to get volunteering experiences, I feel like, to go out and get that. So do a couple different ones. Like if you want to do one that's medically relevant, do one that's just community based, do one that's like completely separate. You can get these pretty much anywhere, I think.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is don't try and limit yourself just to one thing. Like even if you really like it, like, don't try and limit yourself. There's always something new you can do. Like, I volunteered, like, a couple other places, and that was, like, one thing that they actually talked about during my interview. Is like, oh, I see, you know, you have a couple different areas. You got a hospital. You got, you know, teaching with kids. You got a little bit abroad. It shows you're interested in, like, a lot of different things. And especially, like you said, if you do it in, like, different areas of medicine, and you say, okay, I've seen, like, some clinic medicine. I've seen, like, what it's like in a hospital, or I've seen, like, an underserved area. And you can talk about that, and you can, like, really try and formulate, you know, what you want to do and what you can bring to the table because you've seen all these different areas.
Yeah.
So, Matt, while we kind of want to hear about your volunteer experiences as well, a question for all of us is to think about, like, when did you start? Like, maybe include that. Like, when did you start getting into these volunteering experiences?
Late. For me. Mike. I was late.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Mike too. I was definitely late. I think I started maybe like my summer after my sophomore year, summer after my junior year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that wasn't even clinic related at all. I essentially was teaching like third and fourth graders in like a summer program about like dinosaurs and like astronomy and space. Yeah, it was really cool because I got to get really excited about dinosaurs again. Right. But yeah, it's never too late to start. It's never too early to start.
Sure. I was going to say, like, I mean, both of you, would you, if you could give advice to someone younger than you.
So good point, actually. So my best friend's little sister is thinking about a career in medicine and all that. And I told her, like, I've given her all my insights and been like, listen, it took me a while to get to these points to figure out all these things. But like, I think that you should think about these ahead of time. And she's already doing a ton of volunteer work. Like,
that's good to hear.
She's the president for this thing called Best Buddies. And she just went to like this conference in, I forget where she was. She was in the Midwest somewhere. But I was like, this is amazing. Like, you already have so much on your resume that I didn't have at your age.
Yeah.
So like, if you can find opportunities like that within your high school or your community, absolutely.
Especially if you're in high school too. If you can say like, you did this in high school and like,
and you continued it.
Yeah. If you continued it, that's the big thing too. Yeah. Like, don't just do something for a summer and say like, I did it for a summer just to do it. If you can show you continued it and you keep like, you love what you do, that's great.
Yeah. Especially if you can advance through it too. Like, if you get moved from like just being like a volunteer to like the coordinator of volunteers to this, to that, it shows that not only were you willing to go after something, it shows that you were responsible enough that this establishment felt like they could give you more to do and trusted you to do that. And it shows that if you're a physician, we can trust you to like handle the workload that we're going to hand you someday.
Absolutely. And like, we're going to beat this into everybody's heads by the end of this is you shouldn't be doing these as a checklist, and you shouldn't be starting a volunteer thing just because you should be starting a something you're passionate about. But I would definitely challenge everyone, like both Matt and Mike have said, to start searching early, because people at admissions, as Mike just said, they love to see long-term commitment, because that means you are getting involved. You're not just there gone. You're not there. And that's fine while you're searching for things, but find something you're passionate about.
Yeah. I'm going to kind of build off of what Mike said too. Sure. Like if you can advance in it, like, that's great. So I actually had like kind of an experience like that. I volunteered at a children's hospital in Wisconsin, and started off just like working with like a few kids, like working one floor, and like, I volunteered there for 3 years. By the end of it, I was working with like long-term stay, like individual patients who knew me by name. I knew them by name, and I would see them like every week.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to that point where you can start building rapport with nurses, physicians, and especially physicians. Like, if you're applying to these schools, they hear about you, like word gets out, and they say like, oh, you know, you volunteered, like, no, you're at the children's hospital. Or they might
know someone over there.
Exactly, yeah. So a lot of them like knew a couple of people on the admissions board, and my name got out there, and it does help. The more you can stick with it,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where it's never bad to showcase your dedication in the, especially to people that are on staff there, because you will be talked about, and you know, it's not to say that there's anyone that can be like, hey, so and so is really good, accept them. I mean, like, that's just not how it works. Yeah. Obviously the admissions boards and committees are much, much more in depth than that, and there's so many checkpoints for that to not happen because they want it to be a fair process. But it never hurts to have someone know that you are someone who's passionate about helping other people.
And going off what you just said too, you guys will learn real quick, this isn't like in business where if you know someone, like, they can help you get a job somewhere, or like they can call someone and say, hey, like, this person's great, da, 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 da. It doesn't work like that in medicine, I don't feel like. Like, I've had plenty of physicians that I've worked for that have said, you should go to this school, you should go to that school. And then even, like, they can call over there and say, hey, I got this kid applying, like, they're really good. But if you don't make that, if you don't make it for them, like, they can't help you beyond that. Like, they can put your name out there, but it doesn't work in that, like, translational way.
Yeah, especially when you got, like, what, 16,000 applicants.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. And it's nice to have your name out there. It's nice to be, you know, to get a little, like, name recognition, whether or not that's you working at that hospital, the same hospital that you're applying to. But also, it's again, like, med school should be your thing. You know, you should take pride in the fact that you're applying as who you are, who you've worked on becoming all these years, and that, you know, you're not getting in because someone wanted you to get in. You're getting in because it's your own merit. Yeah. And that's
one of the greatest feelings.
It is. And it, you know, it can be disappointing if that doesn't come. But you know, that's just part of dedication. And so
yeah, kind of going off what you were talking about earlier, Matt, with like advancing through it. Like, I think one of the coolest things for me was, like, when I was coaching these boys, so, like, our town back in Peabody is, like, really competitive for soccer. It's really hard to make our travel team. And a lot of the boys that were on my team had just been cut from, like, the team. So, like, they didn't even want to play. Their parents just made them. So, like, it was kind of, like, my job to, like, reinvigorate these kids and be like, hey, like, you can still play soccer and work with them like that. And it was awesome that by the end of that season, they, like, came up to me and were like, Coach Mike, like, we're going to play in this winter league and an indoor league. Like, well, can you coach us through it? Da-da-da. And that was completely outside the scope of like what we had to do. But if you do a good job and you're really passionate about what you do, you will literally see how you can impact some kid's life. Like, I took those kids to their indoor league. I coached them through that. Like, their parents were amazing. I loved hanging out with them. They were so nice. They offered to write letters of recommendation for medical school.
Oh, nice. That'll be another episode too. We'll talk about letters of recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, some people look at volunteering as like something they have to do. Look at it as something you get the opportunity to do. Like, there's no pressure on you. You are not tied to anyone. You get to go do this, something that you're passionate about and that you love. And you just get to go do that. You don't have to worry about money or time and all these things. It's a completely different experience. I just feel like people need to understand that and accept it for what it is. Because it's so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel that there's a stigma to volunteering?
I think there is. I think sometimes service gets kind of like a bad rep. Like, you know, people, like, they feel like they have to go do this. Like, oh, I have to go, you know, work at this shelter. I have to go, you know, work here. Or not even work, volunteer. Yeah. But like Mike said, like, it should be fun. And if you find something that you really like to do, like, it is fun. Like, I 100%. Really, like, I loved being around kids, and we would like play board games, and we would color and like do all these like fun things where it's a nice break from everything. It gets you away from everything. So if you find something that you really love to do, like, you don't see it as, you don't really even see it as like service. You just see that like it's something you love to do.
Yeah. And so I mean, for me, I feel like I was a little bit later in the game volunteering, and I wish I would have, you know, I feel like I prioritized almost everything before, like, academics come first, you know, like, research comes first, or all that stuff. Because
research did not come first for me.
that was something for me. Like, I was really, I'm still very passionate about. So that's just my own thing. But so, like, when I started looking at volunteer opportunities, and again, I think honestly, I went into it with the mindset of I'm going to need to have volunteering opportunities on my application. Let's think about what I could do. I'm kind of ashamed to say that, because the things that I found myself doing, I was so happy that like I went out for that. I started because I was of the mindset to where I need to find something medically related to volunteer. So I started volunteering at an ER. And while that started as like a gotta do this, it became so cool. I just learned more and more about what the nurses do and how amazing nurses are. And what the physicians are doing and how it's just such a collaborative environment and how cool that can be. And like, even as a volunteer, I couldn't do very much, but it was really cool to be a part of that. But more so, I think the volunteering experience for me that meant most, that was outside of being medically related, I got to volunteer for an organization called World Vision.
And what is that?
Yeah, it's an organization that helps refugees coming to America. And, I mean, they can be coming to America for a variety of reasons, whether there's conflict in their homeland or just problems in general of their living environments in other countries. The application process to become a refugee in America is insane. I mean, the application process to be a refugee anywhere is insane. And that was just something that I learned through that. But I was kind of an ambassador for these people as they came to America. I would pick them up from the airports.
Really?
Take them. Yeah. And this organization, they find living arrangements, they find jobs, they find mentors, they find people to help them learn the language.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, it was amazing, because I'd pick these people up from the airport. You know, they could be from anywhere. They could be from Burma. They could be from the Middle East. They could, you know, and to have them and just see their joy.
Yeah.
To finally,
how excited they were.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, you're coming into a place that is so unknown, so foreign, like, and yet you're so happy to be here. Like, you hardly speak English. And I don't know. It was so cool. And I learned, I think, so much about myself and about what it means to really serve others. And through that organization, you know, I got to continue to help in that regard. And that was one thing that I love to talk about in my interviews, because
I'm sure they'd love to hear about it too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's like what Matt was saying about me when I was talking. If you could see the passion in Matt's hand gestures and all that right now, you'd understand. But no, like, this is what they want. Like, they want you to be like this. If you act like this in an interview and you're passionate and you're genuine, that's the kind of stuff that once you get past the application and you're in the room with an admissions counselor or something like that, that's what gets you in.
Yeah, whether it's medical or not. If you can talk about it and you can show that you love it, that's really at the end of the day what matters.
And I think one of the biggest things about the medical school interview is they want to see people that are capable of self-reflection and be
self-aware.
That's
a great point. Such a good point.
And to have that introspection on your own and to be able to look at yourself, know who you are, which is a big thing. Like, no,
we're still doing it. We did it yesterday with that PVIP thing that they made us do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. The PVIPs is a test you can take online. It's a survey, a questionnaire provided by MCAS, I believe.
I think it's through the MCAS.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the AMA.
It's the
AAMC.
One of those like medical school thingies offers.
They all got an A and M and an A and M. And after that, it just kind of like kind of goes off from there.
So this one is the AAMC. Which is the same exact organization that provides the MCAS.
Yep.
But they, you take the survey and it kind of just quantifies things that you find important in your life, whether that's work-life balance, whether that's scheduling, whether that's autonomy, research, teaching, etc. They kind of quantify those things. And, you know, like Mike said, we're still learning about ourselves, but it's important to be able to come in with values, morals, characteristics, and conviction.
Yep.
Yeah. Into your medical interview, and to be able to answer hard questions, right?
I agree.
Yeah, especially the hard questions that come up.
Before we transition to like kind of talking about like how we wrote about these in our actual application, I do want to talk about this a little bit more, because reflection is huge, I think, for medical school, because they appreciate when you come in knowing like, you don't have to know what kind of doctor you're going to be, but they like it when you have, like, some self-awareness of, like, who you are as a person. Like, it's not a problem. If you enjoy research, that's fine. But, like, know that about yourself. Don't come in and tell them, I love doing this aspect of this, and I love doing this aspect of that aspect of this, just because you think that's what they want to hear.
Yeah, like, that is huge.
That's setting yourself up for a massive problem at some point.
Especially talking about what you know you're not good at as well. Yeah. Like, if you come in and you, like...
But being able to spin it,
too. But, yeah, exactly. If you come in and you say, like, you know, I've had, like, some scheduling issues in the past. I haven't been really good at, like, been keeping on top of things, but...
This is how I get
around it. This is what I'm doing. Yeah, or this is how I'm getting around it, or this is what I'm doing to try and, like, prevent that from happening.
I think that was actually great advice given to us by a surgical resident at one of the panels we had.
Oh, the lady?
Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing. I don't remember her name, but yeah, she was unreal.
She's amazing. Yeah. But kind of like, Mike, what you said, when you said, like, to spin it, I know what you meant, but I'm just going to clarify for people listening, is not to spin it, but to be able to identify something about yourself and to be working towards
changing it. That's a much better way of putting it.
And so what this this physician said is she said that you are absolutely allowed to say you don't know something, because if you look at someone and lie to them, that is 10 times worse than saying that you don't know. Because when you say you don't know, what that should be followed up by very quickly is, I will do whatever it takes right now to figure that out.
Exactly.
And I think that comes with admitting, whether that's grades, you know, like, not everyone gets straight A's and applies to med school, or, you know, and that's the most surface level example I could give. But don't be afraid to say those things honestly, but then to address how you're moving forward.
That's the most important part, to address how you're moving forward.
And I think that goes even more outside of medical school, just life in general. Like, if you're working a job, or like you're in school or anything like that, having the humility to admit that you don't know something, but you know how to find the answer or where to find the answer, that just shows so much about your character. That's what I think about it.
Or just ask for help too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, everyone's learning at this point. You know, we don't know anything at this point in our medical career, and it's like, it is hard when you're going to shadow physicians and they do ask you some questions, and you know as eager medical students, we want to try and prove that we know it, but just say, no, I don't. Like, can you help me find that, or can you explain this to me? Mm-hmm. Like, that's huge.
Right. And as M1s, we have no business trying to fool a physician with decades of experience, because they will pick that out immediately. And then, I mean, you may get one interaction for them to quantify you or characterize you.
Exactly.
Which it can happen. I'm not saying that everyone's like that, but the one time you lie to one physician could travel to the next physician, because they say, this person could be great in so many ways, but they lied to me about this.
Right.
Yep.
And I think that's a perfect segue into, like, this whole, like, writing about your volunteering stuff too, because when they say, like, when they look at your application, they go through it with a fine comb. Like, they're gonna look at every word you put, they're gonna, like, break it down to its absolute elements of whatever they can.
Yeah. And every word matters, because what, you get 200 some characters if it's not specified.
200, and that's characters, that's not words.
Yeah, like, your maybe period, like, five and your sentences space, or something.
Yeah, a period and a space count as a character.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that just comes with being concise and just being able to say, this is the experience. This is what it meant to me. This is what I learned from it. And I think some advice I was given when I was applying is yes, what it is important, but it shouldn't be the most important. What you did in that is important, but it shouldn't be the most important. What you learned from it.
Exactly.
How you grew from it.
What did it teach you?
Reflection and introspection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are the things that should be 90% of whatever it is you're writing about, because that is what shows who you are. They can Google the organizations and see what they do.
Right. Most of the time they know about the organizations too, you know, you see someone that, like, volunteers at a hospital, most of the time they already know, you know, about what you're doing, but, like, how did you actually take that, and how are you going to bring that to, like, becoming a medical student? Not even always becoming a medical student, just becoming, like, a better person in general.
Yeah. Right. And again, like, why these volunteer experiences are one of the things that distinguishes you most is because there are however many applicants there are for medical school, there's a good percentage of them that all volunteered at an ER or at something.
Exactly.
But the where it becomes unique and where it becomes tailored to you as a candidate and where it separates you as a candidate from the other thousands is what you learned, how you grew from it.
Agreed. Yeah. We'll probably talk more about this when we do like personal statements and stuff like that, but yeah. Who did you guys have read your stuff? Because like the first time I applied, I think I only had like my parents and like my friends and stuff who were like really good at English read it. And then I learned that you need to have a lot of people read these things.
Yeah.
Even though it's only 200 characters, those 200 characters matter. And you need to get like a lot of people's perspectives on like, why did you say it this way and like not that way? Like, this makes me think that you think in this way, and I think you actually meant to have me think this way.
Yeah. Could you provide an example if you have one on hand other than...
I don't have one on hand, but that happens to me a lot. Like, one of my mentors set me up with this lady at BU who does admissions over there. And it was my experiences too, but I sent her my application from the year before and I went and met with her the next day and she was going through all my stuff. And I think one of the big things she said to me was, she said I was being really negative and I didn't understand that. I don't remember exactly what she said, but I was using a lot of like, instead of saying, you know, I learned about this, I was saying, you know, I learned I didn't like this. Mm. And she was okay. Like, don't tell me what you didn't like. Tell me what you did like and things like that. So yeah. To get her perspective on that was really important to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with 1,000% is because I write sometimes how I talk mm-hmm. and I talk very complicated, but when you talk, you can use inflection. You can,
right.
You
know, it's a big
I
difference.
Wave my hands around because I'm Italian.
You're Italian?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well,
the more you know.
me too.
But I think the thing is again, like in those 200 or I don't even know if it's 200 characters. It could be
like 200, 250, something like that.
It's something small, it's whatever small. It is. It's small, yeah.
Yeah. Every word, every sentence counts and you can use things like, I mean, there's softwares out there that check your grammar and stuff, but really, this is where it's very important to have mentors and to have people mm-hmm. you trust, like friends, family, whatever it is, to read through those and see if you're trying to be someone that would, you know, like if you're trying to be the perfect candidate mm-hmm. or if you're actually displaying who you are.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I think that's like, you mentioned like the grammar programs and stuff like that. I think it's super important to have people who, we already kind of talked about it, have people who've been through it read over. So like I probably had like too many people read mine over because I started
getting... I don't think that's possible.
Well, I started getting conflicting comments and like, I'd go back to it.
At one point, like who are you going to listen to?
What yeah, exactly. So like I had a couple like MD, PhD students at the research lab that I worked at read it over and they've all been through it. But, you know, I thought like the most important piece of advice that they gave me was like, don't shortchange yourself. Like I hate writing about myself. I hate writing about like what I did.
We're not good braggers about ourselves.
I know. We're doing a really great job with that. But I hate talking about like what specifically like I did that set me apart from someone else. Mm-hmm. So like don't shortchange yourself. Like if you went through and like you like developed this entire program or this entire like teaching lesson, talk about that. Yeah, they love to see that. Like it shows like ownership of something and it shows that like you can be trusted to take on a project from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Be proud of the things that you accomplish because let's face it, if you're applying to med school, you've probably accomplished a lot of things and you should be proud of those things and it should show. But it should never be a braggadocious.
Exactly.
It should be a, you know, like you're proud of how those experiences shaped you because they've made you who you are and that's why you're proud of them.
Yeah. And that's a tough balance, I think, too. I remember talking to one of the doctors that's my mentors and he was like, you don't talk about yourself very well. And I was like, Dr. O, I could tell you so many things about myself, but I don't want to come off as braggy. Like, that's not who I am. That's not how I was raised. And he was like, yes, I understand what you're saying. And I think that's really great that you have that opinion, but you need to learn how to do it and be comfortable in a way that doesn't make you feel that way. Because he was like, I'm looking at your application. He's like, and what you tell me, he's like, there's so much more to you than what you're showing me. And I need to see that. Like, I need to be able to know that so that way I can know that I'm making the best choice about you and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a pretty fine line to walk.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think more than anything, like, obviously don't lie on, I mean, we talked about that. Don't ever lie on these things.
Don't over-exaggerate either. I know there's a there's a section in there where I think you put in, like, how many hours or something that, like, you've done this. Yeah, like, be honest. And, like, that's another thing that we can, like, briefly touch on. Like, it doesn't, like, at the end of the day, like, as long as you're doing something, like, the number of hours, like, doesn't, like, I don't think it personally has, like, a huge weight. It does. To some
I mean, if you've done like 20 hours, you should probably do more.
But yeah, but like what's the difference?
Hour show commitment.
Yeah, but like what's the difference between like 50 hours and like 100 hours? Like, I know that was something like that my friends would always ask me, like, well, how many hours of volunteering do you have? Like, how many hours of this do you have?
I never quantified it.
Yeah, like, so don't worry about that. If you're interested in it, you've been with it for a while. No, like,
can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
Because I actually liked what you said about the best advice you ever got. What's the best advice you ever got when you were going through this?
When I was going through the application
process? Or, like, when you were, like, doing the writing and all that?
I was doing the writing thing. That's a really good question. I think the best advice I got about this was, honestly, like, to write something. And because for me, I'm a writer who, when I write things, it takes me a while. Mm-hmm. I'm stuck on things. And I want, it's better to have something you can mold.
Than to have nothing at all.
Exactly. Yeah. And so,
so just like start.
Right. Someone told me, hey, write two versions. Write an over braggy version.
And interesting.
And then write a version that like is
more scaled back.
Yeah. Maybe that's one that you're comfortable with, but write one that makes you uncomfortable, but like you're really talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that kind of helped me bridge the gap. And when I show those to people and honestly, like, for me, it was big on talking to people and discussing those things, not just thinking about them, but discussing them with people I trusted and respected. Yeah. That was the advice that I got is to never be afraid to just start writing and start working on
it. So was the goal in that scenario to then like merge the two together and like get to like a middle ground?
Absolutely. Because you don't want to come off, you don't want to come off as, in my opinion, you don't want to come off as timid in your application.
Exactly. That was one of the big words that I got. Like, I want to know that this is what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, at our school, there were 15,000 plus applicants. We have a class of 165.
We are 1% of who applied.
You need to be able to prove that you want it. And you need to be able to show how you're different.
Agreed. And show that you kind of have an idea of what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
And we don't. Like, I still think we have, like, no idea what's going to expect. But, you know, if you have been, like, shadowing and, like, volunteering, like, you kind of have an idea of, like, what you're going to be doing or what you're going to be around on, like, a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And I think what you guys said about, like, show that you want it is, like, the biggest thing that I got from my writing was Dr. O would always say, show me. Don't tell me in your writing.
I got that show a lot me. As well.
Tell me the story and let me decide what I think about your character. Don't tell me that you're a good leader. Show me the story of why you're the good leader and I'll pick that out and I'll probably pick out even more things from it.
Yeah, and anecdotes are important when it comes to that because certain experiences you have are able to show those characteristics. Like Mike just said, I don't want to say, I'm a leader. Instead, he would tell me how he was the coach of a soccer team and how he enjoyed the challenges but appreciated the responsibility of every day being in charge of X, Y, and Z. That is how you show instead of tell. And I think that's a really, really great thing to talk about.
Yeah. That's a hard thing to learn how to do as well. It's really hard because you really want to tell them, like, I learned this, this, and this. Like, just tell them what you did. People will figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, I mean, this goes, transitionally with the personal statement you write. I mean, obviously, these experiences that you have, the personal statement you write, should be all things that you have people look over a lot. And it's okay to have a lot of different people look at them from different backgrounds, whether you want a physician mentor to look at them, whether you want a friend to speak on your characteristics as a person. Those are important things.
I think that's good, too. You said a lot of people from different backgrounds. That's something I wish I would have done. I had all people that were just in medicine look at mine. It's good to get that different perspective. If you have, like, communications, like, major friend, like, have them look at it. They know how to write things far better than we do.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I think, this has been a really, this has been a fun thing for us to talk about.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, there are so many things that we could talk about on the broad aspect of volunteering. But I think the main points that we wanted to get across today were to be yourself in your application,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you're showing things through your words, not just blatantly stating them,
yep.
to have a lot of people look at them, and to explore opportunities. Do not yep. see it as a checklist. See it as an opportunity.
Be passionate.
For growth,
yeah.
for introspection, and to reflect. And when you write these things, like this is the last thing I will personally say, is again, what you did and what it was, great stuff. Should be included. But what you learned from it and how that affected you and shaped you as a person should be the bulk of the things that you talk about.
Yeah, and I think the more you find things that you're interested in, the easier it is to write that.
Yeah. Passion, passion, passion. That's all I got left for you guys. I think these guys hit on everything else, and I think that's enough for today. So I'm Mike from Three Guys in a White Coat, and I'm signing off.
I'm Matt from Three Guys in a White Coat, signing off.
And Matt also signing off.